League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Paul Gallant in for Jeremy Branham. To my left, Joel Blank. And joining us right now, we have Bob Nightingale. Talk a little baseball with us. Bob, what's going on?
Yeah, doing good. Busy day.
Yeah, definitely a busy day for us in Houston. We are going to see Carlos Correa now with the Minnesota Twins make his return to play against the Astros tonight. We obviously have a lot of hindsight now that we've seen a little bit of Jeremy Pena and that we have seen Carlos Correa in Minnesota. Do you think that's a move that the Astros are going to be regretting come playoff time, moving on from Correa for the younger guy?
Well, I mean, they knew it ahead of time. I mean, they could have had the same deal the Twins did. But, you know, talking to Jim Crane, he didn't want to give the opt-outs. He wanted more certainty. You know, if you give a guy $35 million, you know, he's allowed to opt out. You know, he gets everything. So I can certainly understand why the Astros did that. You know, they could have turned, I guess, to a different shortstop. And, of course, they have the right to do it again. I mean, if they want, you know, Correa should opt out. And I guess, you know, if they want to, they can actually listen and be on him again if they wanted to.
Bob, as it relates to the Astros overall big picture, everybody was on that Yankees bandwagon really hard for a majority of the season, and now it looks like the wheels were borderline falling off, though Yankees fans are getting a little excited because of the game last night. When you look at the expectations of a Yankee team that hadn't done, you know, won a World Series since 2010 and the way they were going, what are the ramifications if they don't do what they were doing at the start of the year? Is Brian Cashman finally in trouble? Is Aaron Boone going to be the fall guy?
I don't think so. Certainly not Boone. He just signed an extension last year after the season. They like him a lot. You know, if you want to blame anybody, you can blame the construction of the roster. You know, so that trade doesn't look good. Trading Jordan Montgomery, he's been lights out for the Cardinals. You know, for Bader. Harrison Bader, who still hasn't played yet, from a walking boot. But I don't think either one is in trouble. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win the division. But let's be honest, even with the going great guns, and everybody's falling in love with the Yankees, there was one team that couldn't beat, and that was the Astros. I mean, they played seven times and never once came to the plate with a lead. You know, those two losses were blown saves. So I still think, you know, nothing changed my mind. The Astros are the team to beat in America League.
And the Yankees are probably the number two. Bob, what's the gap between those two teams and the next, I guess, best team as far as actual chances of making it to the World Series out of the American League?
Well, I think a massive gap. It's not like the National League where a bunch of teams are close. It's really two teams. But saying that, the one team I think that could surprise would be a sneaky team would be Seattle. You know, when you got a Luis Castillo, who's a stud starter, Robbie Ray, defending Cy Young winner, Logan Gilbert. George Kirby. That's a sneaky good team. And you know, the Astros see enough of them, but they're good, and I think they can they could shock someone in the playoffs.
Bob, as it relates to the Astros overall, we know their starting pitching has been their biggest strength, and they have been outstanding, and they could go deep, as they've shown all season long. Offense has been a little bit less than what people expected, but still good. And the bullpen of late has been catching the majority of the scrutiny. As you look at this team, is the bullpen the biggest weakness where this team could fall short as it relates to the postseason?
It could be, but you know what? You could say that about a number of teams. The only thing is, you're talking to scouts, it's like, well, the bottom of that order of the lineup is weak. 1 through 6, powerful. And a really big drop off there. You need those 7, 8, 9 hitters to be able to do something. So, yeah, we'll see about, you know, Will Smith's got the postseason experience. He was a lights out for Atlanta last year throughout the whole playoff race, never blew a save. So, yeah, I mean, I can see what you're saying that with the bullpen. But, you know, certainly, you know, I'll take their bullpen over bullpens like the Dodgers any day.
Well, as it relates, though, Bob, to that bottom three part of the lineup, I'm curious your thoughts nationally, because locally we saw the two trades, or the three trades, including the Smith trade you're talking about. We saw the two trades that really mattered to Astros fans first and foremost, and that was Vasquez and Trey Mancini. And the thought was, well, Trey Mancini, whether, you know, he's going to play every day, they're going to find a place for him. And then when Brantley was done for the year, the thought was, oh, he's going to fit that role of left field, and he's played there once or twice. When it comes to Vasquez, it was, well, give him some time, but he'll be the starting catcher or get more starts than Maldonado by playoff time. That hasn't happened either. What's your take on the trades and where those guys should be playing and how often?
Well, I think Mancini, you kind of mix and match type of thing, and you know, don't make him the everyday player, but you certainly see what he can do. And then the nice luxury with the Astros have with a big lead, and what Dusty can do is just say, okay, let me try this matchup. That way I know if it's going to work or not in October. I think in the catching situation, I think Maldonado was always going to be that guy just because the pitchers love throwing to him so much, and you can always, you know, replace him with pinch hitter and stuff like that. I would still expect him to start Lala's games in October just because, you know, nothing means more than a pitcher-catcher relationship. Now, if there's someone that's just, you know, okay with Maldonado and it doesn't matter who he throws to, you know, then you might, you know, mix him in, Vasquez. But they got a great 1-2 punch there in the two catchers.
Bob Nightingale of the USA Today with us talking a little bit of baseball. To follow up on that, Bob, I was listening to an interview that Jake Arrieta was doing, and he said something along the lines of talking about those pitcher-catcher relationships, saying, like, look, like, big league catchers are big league catchers. And maybe there is a difference from one catcher to another as far as calling a strike zone or something like that. But I don't know. There are times where I find myself wondering if Dusty Baker is perhaps overrating just how valuable Martin Maldonado is behind the plate when Christian Vasquez is clearly an upgrade at the plate, a guy who has come through in big-time moments when he was with Boston, in particular against New York.
Yeah, I think it's very important. I really do. I don't think that Dusty is overestimating it whatsoever. I mean, remember, Greg Maddux is a Hall of Famer, but he always had his own personal catcher. Even playoff time when, you know, there were I forget who was catching him, Lopez, I think, but, you know, much better offensive catcher, but he struggled with him. You know, last year, Lucas Giolito, from May on, had his own personal catcher. So you see that a lot. I think managers really realize that importance, that, hey, that means a lot more to you than the guy who you know, may drive in a run when Maldonado does it. If you want, like you say, want to do that late innings, because late innings, the starting pitcher's probably going to be out anyway, that's fine. You know, maybe you do a deal where the Vasquez is catching the relievers more often just because there's going to be so many different arms anyway to get comfortable with them.
Specific catchers I can understand, and those are some good examples you gave up. What about specific, like, center fielders? Which, there was a quote a little bit ago, Bob, where Dusty Baker was talking about how for specific pitchers, he'll have specific guys in the field. I found it to be a very strange explanation. Is that something that happens more often across baseball, where a specific outfielder will be out in a game for a specific pitcher?
Not often. I mean, but usually you have a starting center fielder. I mean, I think all that shows is that the Astros don't have anybody they can trust on an everyday basis. You know, maybe it's your catch craw or something like that. But I think it's a deal where, you know, if you had a regular guy, you would not care. But the Astros have a few teams in baseball. We don't have a everyday center fielder, not one you can trust. I mean, of all the postseason teams, you know, their center field situation is probably the weakest of anybody.
Bob, when you look at it, there's been a lot of scrutiny of Dusty Baker throughout the season, and you know throughout his career, it's you know, pitching decisions. It's some of the things Paul was asking you about. But the question then becomes, with one of the hotter candidates and commodities that teams are looking at in Joe Espada, do you see what's the likelihood of Dusty coming back next season? And would the Astros risk letting Joe Espada get away, who seems to be their long-term guy, if it meant bringing Dusty back for another year?
Well, I mean, Emmy could have had a spot over the years, too. I mean, nobody hired him. You know, there's been plenty of openings. There'll be plenty of openings this winter. So, I mean, there's certainly enough candidates out there if they don't want to bring Dusty back or if Dusty doesn't want to come back. I think it's a mutual decision here. Does Dusty want to come back? He certainly deserved that. I think he was the perfect guy to replace Hinch. Never know. Espada was on that coaching staff, too, right, with the cheating scandal. So it's not like, you know, unblemished. And if he was that hard to come on, you would think somebody would have picked him up the last couple of years, and nobody did. I mean, there's been, you know, four firings already this year. No one reached out to the Astros and said, hey, I'd like to hire him as my everyday guy.
But one of the discussions was the fact that the Astros had a kind of behind-the-scenes conversation of, hey, you're our guy for the future, so if you kind of pull your name out of the hat, because he was a finalist for a couple jobs last year. There were teams talking to him, and suddenly it just was all cut off to where you wondered if there was a conversation with someone with the Astros brass that said, hey, you're our guy, just be patient.
I don't think so. I don't. I mean, remember Brad Ausmus was promised that too. When Ausmus was hired, was offered the bench coach job to Dusty Baker, and they said to him, you're Dusty's heir apparent. When Dusty's time has come, you're our guy. And he didn't really, you know, believe it or say, you know what, if you do make a managerial change, I can still come there. I would still think that Ausmus would be a strong candidate as well, being the bench coach of the A's. So I don't think you can just sit back and say, oh, I'll turn these offers down. I think if you really had a major league managerial offer, you're taking it.
He is Bob Nightingale. He covers baseball for the USA Today and for Odyssey. Bob, we really appreciate your time at B Nightingale on Twitter, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Sounds great. Take care, guys.
Bob Nightingale, everybody. He is Joel Blank. I am Paul Gallant in for Jeremy Branham. Congrats to Jeremy Branham on his new boy crew. Coming up next, we wrap things up. We talk to the Wheelhouse, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.